This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
To whoever came up with the idea for Mango Pepsi, I don't know how or why you decided to do this, but thank you. Thank you. It's amazing. You my nigga for life. I just needed to get that off my chest.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Sunshine. All right, whatever. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I have to start out by thanking you for spending a little bit of your time with me, just to, I don't know, do whatever it is we do here. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I greatly appreciate it. So a lot I want to get into this episode. If you can't tell from the intro music, I just recently watched that Summer of Soul documentary that the Questlove put out about the Harlem Cultural Festival in 1969, where the footage has just been sitting in somebody's basement for like the last 50 years. And it was this extremely dope like event that I know I didn't know anything about. And it feels like, you know, it just got lost to history. But it was a really, really good documentary. And especially for what I've had going on this week, it was especially poignant to me. That was Fifth Dimension, Let the Sun Shine, which is like the B-side to another song, Aquarius, which you might recognize. I was familiar with those two songs. Like, I was familiar with the song Aquarius and Let the Sun Shine In, but I couldn't associate them with a particular group. So that was one of the really dope parts of watching the documentary was for me was seeing some of these groups that, you know, I knew I was familiar with but wasn't familiar with. And then also seeing, you know, some of these artists as young people, seeing, you know, Stevie Wonder, you know, perform live as a young man. I think I was like a 19-year-old at the time. Yeah, man, it was just extremely dope. So if you get a chance, definitely check it out. You know, it's one of those things that is just crazy that, you know, and this was the same summer as Woodstock. And so, you know, we all know Woodstock. You know, we all know about Woodstock, whether or not you even associate with or, you know, or you have any, you know, recollection of some of those artists, whether those artists that performed at Woodstock are important to you or not. We all seem to know about that as a cultural event. And then somehow this Harlem Festival just got lost to history. But luckily, you know, it was documented, it was filmed, and somebody decided to dig that stuff up and do something with it. So yeah, very, very dope documentary. It was one of the highlights of the week. There were some lowlights. There were some definitely lowlights. Yeah, no Chefy Leach this week, so I don't really have many Chefy Leach story. I do want to, I guess I, you know, a lot of this episode is going to have to deal with music, you know, just based off something that happened last week, which we'll get to later, and then me watching the documentary, and I've just been in a real, like, space with music, you know, recently listening to a lot of songs I hadn't listened to in a long time, and you know, remembering, you know, where those influences came from, and you know, just the memories and the emotions associated with certain kind of music. I know for Elise, one of the proudest moments for me as a dad, as a parent, was, you know, her discovering like Michael Jackson, yeah, really young. Like, I wanted, you know, before she was 3 years old, she might have been like two and a half, three, like right around the time she could speak, you know, like she definitely showed an appreciation for Michael Jackson. Like, you could tell that was her favorite artist, you know, at two, like crazy. And not even like current Mike, not like the Mike, I guess there is no current Mike, my bad. But not even like contemporary, or, you know, I don't know the right word for it. She like old Mike. She likes like Jackson 5. And like, I definitely think, you know, going forward, she's a Off the Wall is a better album than Thriller kind of person. Like, and that means a lot to me. That makes me a proud dad. I feel like I've done my job as a father, if she understands that Off the Wall is a better album than Thriller. If you disagree, something's wrong with you. Anyway, but yeah, that's my only Elise part of this episode. I got to throw her in there because y'all love her, I love her, and I feel like you wouldn't listen if I didn't talk about her. But yeah, no Chef Elise this week, so we didn't do any recipes or anything like that. I had a few weird incidents. Some of it's karma, some of it's, I don't know, whatever. I've had two issues with customer service and packages, and these are the things that, like, I sometimes talk about. How does racism begin? Like, how does a normal, sane, reasonable person go from regular to like hating a group of people? And it honestly is something that I think you have to fight, because the brain normally wants to recognize patterns, and it wants to establish patterns. And if you start to have a certain number of interactions with a certain group of people, and those interactions are negative, then you start associating negative feelings with a group of people, and it's a slippery slope. So you have to like check yourself. As I had to check myself a couple times this week, because I just been having issues with customer service. Like, I told you I had to buy all new stuff when I moved in to this apartment, because I had nothing. Me and the ex was splitting up. She was like, man, we need to talk about, you know, what's yours and what's mine, or what you're going to take, or how we're going to split this stuff up. I was just, you know, in my feelings. I was like, man, I don't want nothing. Take everything. And, you know, that's what she did. You know, no diss, but that's what she did. So I had to buy all new stuff. Couches, rugs, everything. So my couch has an issue right now. Like, there's a piece that's broken. The wood is like poking through the fabric now. And the normal me, like the me from 2 or 3 years ago, just lived with shit. Like, it'd be shit that would be broken or not right, or I wasn't happy with it. And I would see it every day and it would bother me. But there would be a part of me that felt like I couldn't complain, or I couldn't do anything about it. I didn't want to come across as the angry black man, you know, getting upset or asking for something. Like, I have this thing where I feel like I can't ask for things. Like, I can't. It's weird. But the new me is like, nah, we're going to address this. I don't want to sit here and look at this every day and feel some sort of way about it. I bought a protection plan. I bought all this stuff. Like, we're going to address this. So I go on the website. I try to put in a claim for my thing. Like, it's, you know, I got protection against accidents, spills, all that kinds of stuff, the rips and tears. So I'm like, there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to get a warranty claim on this. So I go on the website, try to do it. The website tells me that I've had the couch for less than 30 days, so I need to go back to whoever I ordered it from. Well, you know, that doesn't make sense. I ordered the couch like weeks before I moved in here, and I moved in here in April. So I've had the couch for well over 90 days at this point. Like, just whatever. It's 30 days. Get the fuck out of here. So I call. I describe. I give them the maker of the couch, you know, a description of the couch. I go into great detail about this couch. And, you know, I describe what's broken and everything. And the customer service lady sounded like she might have been running with me, but apparently she wasn't. But she put the claim through, and then they sent me an email saying, you know, they wanted pictures of it. So I took pictures of the couch. I took pictures of the exact where the damage was, pictures of the couch as a whole, because this is what they asked for. And then I got an email back, like, you know, within a couple minutes, saying that they had found a replacement part and was going to ship it to me. So I'm like, bet, like, this is working. Like, I, you know, you can ask for things, and there is justice. You know, I can get service. So I'm leaving the house yesterday to get a haircut, which is, you know, one of the highlights of my week. And outside of my house is a rug, my apartment. Outside of my apartment is a rug. Now, my couch sits on top of a rug that I purchased from the same website at the same time I purchased the couch. So when I take pictures of the couch to show you the damage to the couch, the sofa, whatever you want to call it, of course, the rug is in the picture. But there's no damage to the rug. There's no spills. There's no tears. As y'all know, I've been a Nazi on Elise about you can't have stuff over here. You can't eat over here. You can eat over there. And so my rug is good. But they sent me a rug. And so now I had to call back. I got to understand why somehow it went from a sofa to a rug, why they sent me a rug. What am I going to have to do to get this rug back to you? And now we need to address that I still have a broken couch. And it, I mean, I was so upset, and try not to take it out on the person that I'm talking to, because it's not their fault. They didn't do it. It was done by whoever I spoke to before, but they already seem irritated that I don't understand what went wrong, and they're telling me respond to the email. It was, you know, and customer service these days is sometimes contracted out. And, you know, I find myself in these situations over and over again. And I have to check myself to, like, not associate a certain thing with a certain group. It's just, it's some people that's reading the script. I've done customer service before. You're reading the script. You got supervisors over your shoulder that, you know, just trying to prevent you or don't want you to just quickly accept the blame for something or, you know, or do something that's going to cost the company money. They want you to kind of push back a little bit. And I can't be upset at the people, but I was definitely upset. And that was the second time this week I had an issue with, like, asking for something as a customer that I feel like I deserve, and then, like, people being vindictive or whatever. I had another issue with Amazon. You know, I get it. I've been ordering like crazy. It's a problem. I need help. But, you know, we have one of those locker systems here at the apartment. And so, you know, when I get packages, you don't need to come to my apartment. You just drop it in a locker. And they got several lockers, several different sizes. And I ordered a tea pitcher, iced tea pitcher, because I'm having this tea party. It's happening. Right now, the date is the 24th. If you're in the Austin area and you want to hang out and drink some tea and play some cards or whatever, you know, holla at me, because it's going down. It's happening. So I ordered this tea pitcher because I want to have several different iced teas available. Some really dope combinations. I'm even, like, mixing my own teas. It's getting crazy. But anyway, I ordered this thing, and I get a call from Amazon saying the driver needs a code to get to my apartment so he can drop off the thing. I'm not giving him the code. You know, I don't know. Other drivers seem to get up here without me having to give him a code if it's a package too big for the lockers. And it's a pitcher. I know it can fit in one of the lockers. So I'm telling the lady, like, look, everybody drops stuff in the lockers. They don't need access to inside the complex in order to put something in the locker. Like, they need to put it in the locker. So she's like, okay, great. You know, I'll let the driver know and we'll get it rescheduled. So, of course, the next available delivery date, I get, you know, notification. I got something waiting for me in the locker. I come down, you know, to get it. You know, when I see what locker is in, it definitely looked like they picked one of the smaller lockers. There are larger lockers available. And this was not the largest available. So I'm like, you know, it's a tea pitcher. Maybe it's not that big. But I open up the locker. And of course, like, it seemed like they just, like, people's elbowed that thing and just is dented it. Like, they just to prove a point. Like, they fucked up the box and, like, jammed it into this too small locker. Like, almost in my mind, and I got to not do this because it's not good for my recovery. I cannot I cannot believe that I can get inside somebody else's head and understand their motivations. But I, in my mind, they was like, oh, for real, you're not going to give me the code, or you trying to make it seem like this is my fault. You're going to get your package and you're going to get it in this locker, but I'm going to show you what I got to do to get it in this locker or whatever. And yeah, yo. And I complained about that too. Amazon doesn't seem to be as like, you know, oh, you know, we're sorry. They were just like, oh, for real? A bad experience? Okay, we'll take note of it. Moving on. So I don't know. It's a couple websites and things I might not use in the near future. It ain't going to hurt them none, which pisses me off too. But fuck it though. On the karma notes, in terms of bad things that happened this week, I talked a couple weeks ago about my epic battle with a spider on my patio. And the patio is one of the reasons, the rooftop patio is one of the reasons why I chose this apartment. And so I want to be out there. I enjoy being out there. I'll turn on some music, you know, open the patio doors, and I'll just sit out there, watch the sunset. I sat out there for 4th of July, like, you know, it's my space. I want the space. I enjoy the space. I think I got a decent view. It's a place I like to be. The spider was preventing me from enjoying the space. And I tried to end the battle between the spider and I as amicably as possible. Like, I was just trying to deter the spider from wanting to set up a residence on my patio, especially in the location that he chose. He chose to build his web like directly over one of the chairs. And like, in between, he had cut off a whole section of my patio. I couldn't even go to one end of the patio without like going through his web. So it didn't work out. It didn't work out. I had to go to extreme measures and, you know, rest in peace, spider, whatever your name was. I don't know. Because he just didn't want to leave. And that's how it turned out. But on the karma side, like, death has consequences. You take a life, it has consequences. Now, I got a mosquito problem. And I'm pretty sure little homie spider might have been managing that for me, you know, before his untimely demise. I wish we could have worked out something, you know, where, you know, he could have existed and did his thing and I could have still enjoyed my space. But, you know, it didn't work out that way. So now I'm out there trying to figure out. I'm not doing minty pickles anymore. I'm not doing peppermint and vinegar. I'm doing peppermint and eucalyptus together, which smells a lot better. But I'm not sure it's doing the job. Somebody sent me something about a lemongrass plant or something like that. You know, there's the whole citronella thing. And I got to figure out the mosquito issue for the patio because I killed the spider. I feel like it's like this is my payback for killing the spider. But that's how shit has been for me lately. But on to brighter things. On to really what this episode is about. Last week, I had a really, really dope conversation with Jay from the Just Say Words Pod Dealers Network Saturday series. You know, this show is a part of the Pod Dealers Network. And, you know, and Jay reached out really early on to get us on board back when it was me and Rich. And he's just been a person that's checked on me and everything. So we had a really dope conversation. I really, really enjoyed the conversation. And we both are our music fans. And I said some things in the podcast that got me in trouble. And it's not Jay's fault. 100% my fault. I did it. Didn't have to say it. It felt relevant. It felt like the thing to say. And I don't regret it. I don't regret it. But I do feel I need to do this episode to kind of explain it. And maybe atone for not telling the entire story, right? So I'm going to do this real roundabout way of getting to this. My mother, who I, you know, she's an older woman. She's a senior citizen, you know. And I don't think she's a podcast person. Like every time, I'm 200, this is the 210th episode. I'm 210 episodes in to this podcast, and my mother and I have had a discussion on how you listen to podcasts and what a podcast is at least 40-50 times during the course of the life of this show. So I don't expect her to listen to the show. I tell her all the time, don't worry about it that you're not listening to it. It's not really for your demographic. I'm not saying that you can't listen to it, but you're not the audience, you know, that I'm making this show for. So if you don't listen to it, that's not a a big thing. You don't have to listen to it just because I'm your son. So I don't expect her to listen to the podcast. But twice during the history of the show, I have gotten calls from my mother about something I said on the show. Both times about her. I don't think she gives a fuck what I said about anybody else. But, you know, when I talk about her, I gotta. That is my mother. So the first time she called me upset about something I said on the show is because I called her the biggest racist that I knew, the most racist person I knew. And I think I did a show and kind of retracted that. She's not racist. I think she will recognize herself as having certain prejudices. That doesn't make her racist in her book. I have an issue with prejudices and whether or not that's somehow better than being racist or not. It feels like, you know, I don't know. It feels like racism with less steps, like you just missed it. Like you're just not doing that last thing, but you got the mindset. But that's neither here nor there. That was the first time I got called upset from my mom about the show. This last podcast, I got a call from my mom and she was very upset. And I was, man, I was racking my brain. Like, what did I do, Mom? Like, what did I do? I'm like, who snitched? Because I know you don't listen to the show. So, like, who listened to the show, heard me say something, and then snitched to my mom about me talking about her? But apparently nobody. She was just going through some stuff on her phone and found a link. And it's the most karma-filled, you know, situation ever. Like, this was just happenstance. Like, 210 episodes, and two of them I've said something that my mom wouldn't like, and somehow she's gotten wind of both of them. Crazy. So on the last show, we were talking about music and the way people appreciate music, especially in the context of the versus battles and battles that Jay and I would like to see, or differences in the battles that we would like to see versus what is out there now. And I made the comment that you can't expect people to appreciate music the same way that you do. And that an instance in my life that drove that point home was a conversation with my mom where I'm trying to explain to her the validity of rap lyrics and the deepness in what they say and you know, and breaking down metaphors and all of that. And her response to me, and I vividly remember this, I do believe this to be true. She questions whether or not it's an accurate statement or not. So I'm not going to sell it as fact during this show. It is a memory that I have. My memory could be skewed, but I cannot say, I don't have a witness to say she said it. So I can't say that it is fact. But I remember my mother saying to me, I don't listen to music to think. And so that was the comment that I made. And my mother was very, very, very hurt by that. And so for that, mother, I apologize. I apologize. And I do want to, you know, take the time in this episode to clarify some things in terms of my mom, music, and that impact on me. My mom is, you know, a lot of the way that I appreciate music comes from my mother. We listen to a lot of different stuff, growing up and like the Fifth Dimension, which I didn't know until I watched the documentary, the Fifth Dimension was one of her favorite groups. And it was really interesting because in the documentary, the singers from the Fifth Dimension talk about how excited they were to perform in Harlem because they had gotten successful because people heard their music before they saw what they looked like. And so people assumed that they were a white band. And so they had gotten popular because people didn't know that they were black. And then they started to get this label in the black community of the black band that sounds white. And I think one of the singers made the comment, like, how do you color sound, you know? But that was just interesting to me because I've talked on the show about me having this thing about me being the whitest black dude that a lot of people know. And then for my mother to be huge fans of a band that had this reputation for being a band, with a white sound, it's just everything comes full circle. You know, I understand my mother and I never got along much as children. So this is a note to moms in general. Like, it'll change. You know, I'll be 40 this year. It took quite a while, but like that's my homie now. Like me, I talk to her more than I talk to anybody else, and I think it's the same on her side. I talk to her all the time. love her to death, but we never got along as with me growing up. And most of it probably is because we're so similar. But my mom was huge in the music. Whether she listened to it for pure entertainment or whether she listened to it for, you know, some intellectual benefit, or whether she listened to it for the emotion that was tied to it, music was definitely 100% a huge part of me growing up and our household. And I have so many, you know, great memories tied to music, and just the different types that I got a chance to be exposed to. When I had the conversation with her the other day, because we had a great conversation about this after she got past the getting hurt part, and I apologize. We talked about some of the, you know, just me bringing up some of the music that is a big part of me now that I definitely got from her. My favorite Christmas song is the Christmas Waltz, sung by Frank Sinatra, and I play that every year, and I think I've gotten my little girl into it. Yeah, I think people that know me around Christmas time know that that song is going to come on, and that 100% came from my mom. I love that song. I'm a big Frank Sinatra fan. One of my favorite soundtracks of all time, and this kind of ties into the Summer of Soul, because I don't think any of the artists, nah, I don't know. I can't remember any artists that were in this Harlem Cultural Festival that were also on this soundtrack, but the Platoon soundtrack, it's maybe my favorite soundtrack of all time. And that 100% came from my mom. I don't know that I've ever watched Platoon start to finish all the way through. I know enough pieces of the movie that I understand what happened, but I know that soundtrack like the back of my hand. Adagio for Strings is probably my favorite piece of classical music, and that was from that soundtrack. I remember when P. Diddy made the album No Way Out right after Biggie died. You know, his tribute to Biggie, I think at the end, started with Adagio for Strings. And that was a moment that her and I could share, because, you know, for her at the time, rap music was noise. But the fact that, you know, Diddy sampled Adagio for Strings, and, you know, and we had that connection with Platoon, that was a moment that we were able to have. A lot of dope songs on that soundtrack. This one in particular, I'm gonna play some clips. This is gonna be one of them kind of shows. But this one in particular, like, I was just listening to it today, and it struck me, like, I don't know, like, maybe why I connected so much with this song, how my life has mirrored this song for some reason. But Otis Redding, sitting on the Dock of the Bay, one of my favorites from that soundtrack.
Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen. 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tides roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock.
It's like, even back then, you know, songs with them new, ooh, like them R&B ad-libs, that's my thing. Like, if you throw a ooh-wee or something at the end of a line in an R&B song, you're going to get me. But, yeah, man, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. 2,000 miles I roamed to make this dock my home. I moved all the way from D.C. to Texas, you know, and here I am. And some of the things that, I don't know, I may be reading way too much into it, but... love that song, and I got that from my mom, and I don't know if at the time I just appreciated it musically, and now I appreciate it lyrically, and maybe she did at the time, and we just didn't have those discussions, but I don't change what she said. Anyway, that was a major one for me. I also big into show tune. I won't say big, but I grew up around show tunes. I grew up around Andrew Lloyd Webber plays and just musicals in general. You know, my mom sang all the time. She played music all the time. She took us to see Cats. And we was just exposed to those kind of things all the time. So that was a big part of my childhood. Dope thing that you can do if you want. I don't know. This may not be new to you, but you know, you listen to Broadway musicals or musicals in general, and then there's the concept of theme and variation. How, you know, like, certain characters will have music associated with them, or certain situations will have music associated with it, and that'll be a theme. And that theme may play several times during that show, during that play. It may be the core music for several different songs, but there's variations on top of it. And I learned this, you know, from my mom and listening to the music that she would play for us. And I think I sent her months ago, I sent her Kanye West's Gone, the song Gone from Kanye West, because that is like a masterclass in like hip hop theme and variation. If you go back and listen to it right now, I think like the only consistent instrumentation throughout the entire song is the drums. And other than that, the other instrumentation changes with each verse on that song. It's not a looped beat. It is a composition. The music is changing and evolving over the course of the song. And it is, to me, like it's the dopest example of theme and variation in the hip hop genre that there is. But I digress. Musicals were a big thing for me. The King and I, this one right here.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hope you like me, getting to know you, putting it my way, but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you.
But yeah, and then now all of a sudden I'm a tea drinker. See, all this stuff comes full circle. Like, that's a reach, but hey. But The King and I, My Fair Lady, that was another one she sang all the time. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night and still have begged for more. Like this, you know, so I don't know. You know, I believe that conversation took place, and I believe the words out of her mouth were, "I don't listen to music to think." I told her she may have just been trying to end the conversation, because I don't care about 99.9% of things that people talk about. But if you land on that 0.1% of things that I care about, like, I go over the top in terms of whatever debate that we're going to have. And so music is one of those things. So I may have been in one of them spaces where I was just not going to walk away from this debate. And in order to end the debate, you know, my mother just had to say something dismissive. She had to be like, "I don't listen to music to think. So that's, your argument is done. Stop. We over. We don't have to talk about this no more." But anyway, this is for her, and this is for the audience too. But just to give examples of just the influence that the music that she exposed me to has on me now. Like last week, to start the show, I played a clip from the Nine album, or the Salt album Nine. The song was Bitter Streets. And when I first heard the song, it immediately resonated with me, because it had like a bossa nova kind of sound to it. And, you know, my mom introduced me to Sergio Mendes and the Brazil 66 and Astrud Gilberto and Stan Getz. And actually, fun fact, I just recently bought some plants. And I'm in here talking to my plants. Yeah, they say that you're supposed to do that, right? That's good. I have a rule that... it's okay for me to talk to them as long as I don't ask them questions and like engage in a full on like dialogue or conversation with the plants. But they have names, and my ficus downstairs is named Astrud after Astrud Gilberto, because I was in that kind of mode when I first heard this Salt song, Bitter Streets, and it reminded me of the girl from Ipanema, which was, you know, something I grew up listening to with my mom.
And thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes
by. Yeah, dope music. But that was, so I just wanted to clarify that for my mother, for anybody who may have interpreted that as like my mom hates music, or she doesn't appreciate music or anything like that. Like, everything about the way I listen to music and appreciate music to this day comes from my mother. And it comes from the the different types of music she exposed us to, and just like the joy I would see in her with the songs that she was singing. She played the piano. You know, just very musically inclined person, and she definitely passed that on. So yeah, Mama, I apologize. I'm sorry, Mama. Please don't be mad at me, Ma. Folks, please understand, you know, that was one quick quote that may or may not be factual from a conversation my mother and I had, but that in no way is a depiction of the relationship between my mother and I or her relationship to music. So I just wanted to clarify that. So I'm going to do my calls to action, and we're going to ride out to one more example of me and my mom, one that should have some resonance, you know, throughout things that I've discussed on the show. But typical calls to action, Zaya Fitness. If you're looking for ways to get your fitness and your nutrition going, hit up my man Zaya Fitness on Instagram, Zayah Fitness on Instagram. If you're looking for ways to be impactful, be your brother's keeper, you know, do something to change, you know, the world that we're in right now, hit up ttcharities.org. They always got something big going on. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. ttcharities.org. I have my merch, of course. I just sent a care package home to my mom and my sister and my nieces and nephews with shirts from the store. I'm trying to turn them into walking billboards, and I will do that. Like, you hit me up, I might just send you something, because the more people wear the shirts, maybe it'll pop. I do want to say, I love y'all. Y'all just, people don't have my back, man. I had this shirt on the store for, I don't know, months now with like misspelled words and typos and all kinds of stuff. And it took me sending it to my mother, an English teacher, for her to hit me up and be like, did you mean to do this? And it's a definition shirt. And I'm trying to take like a slang term and define it, do one of them kind of shirts. And she gave me an out. Like, she gave me an out. She was like, did you mean to do that? Were you just doing, like, Ebonics or something? Or was the whole point for it not to be grammatically correct? And I could have took the out and tried. But, yeah, I meant to do that. I did that on purpose. But, nah, that was just me. I need a proofreader, for real. Like, I don't know. Because I swear to God, I read that shirt, like, 1,000 times before I posted it. And I didn't see any of that. And it's, like, blatant mistakes. But they've been corrected, and it's up on the store now. So, if you want to get your mug, define the shirt, hit up whatistws.com. Got all kinds of stuff there. Still the summer of the algorithm. Coupon code algorithm get you 20% off your entire order. But to ride out, to get out of here, I want to play one more clip from a musical that's near and dear to my heart. I talked about it several times on this show. It was a part of the questions episode where I have expressed my feelings about Anne Hathaway and what she did to the song. Let me say this. Because I listened to Anne Hathaway's version in preparation for this episode. And it wasn't that bad. I'm talking about Les Miserables, by the way. And Anne Hathaway played one of the main characters in that movie adaptation of the musical. And I've been very hard on her about her trying to act her way through the song when it's a song first. Like it's a humdinger of a song. I haven't said humdinger in a minute, but it's a hell of a song. And I've been very tough on her. She didn't do that bad of a job. But I'm going to play a clip from the version from the original London cast, which is, you know, what my mom and I used to listen to like every day on the way to school. Like, weirdly enough, that's what I listened to every day on the way to school or from the ride home from school, the Les Miserables soundtrack. And I got songs there that just, I have definite emotional attachments to. And when I was trying to pick a clip from the musical for this show, like, there's a part of me that was trying to do like a flex and like do like a deep cut, like a deep album cut song, like one of the not so popular songs. I went with the single because this is not about that. This is not about a flex. This is about a moment you know, involving music between my mom and I, that means a lot to me. That definitely shaped the way I listen to music and the way I appreciate music. And yeah, this is about that moment and how Anne Hathaway fucked it all up. Now, I'm sorry. And you tried. But until we speak again, be safe, be light, be easy, and I love y'all.
I had a dream.